In honor of the sheriff's presence here today, I'm going to explain to you the basic problem of law enforcement. Here it is. And then I'm going to illustrate by an example from my own life as a yeshiva student when I was a child. The basic problem of law enforcement is that what you want to get people to do often turns out in a sort of jujitsu move of law enforcement to be the opposite of what you get them to do, despite best intentions. And the example I will give you is from this morning's Haftarah, which, as you know, is about the spies going into the land and staying at the home of Rahab, the innkeeper. Except that innkeeper is not the usual translation for Rahab's profession. And I will lead you to imagine what ancient innkeepers might also have been thought to do. So when I was a child, we were reading the book of Joshua, and we miraculously skipped this chapter, which led this chapter to be the only chapter of the Bible in my memory as a child that I actually voluntarily, without telling anyone, went home and read for myself. So you see, that which you seek to accomplish and that which you accomplish are often at odds, because people naturally go their own way, which leads to the story of the spies, not about Rahab, but about Moses and the spies in the land. Obviously, he sent spies into the land so that they would come back and say, "It's great, let's take it." But they didn't. Caleb and Yehoshua said that, but the other 10 spies said, "We couldn't possibly. The inhabitants are giants, and they saw us as if we were grasshoppers." So the Kotzker Rebbe asks a very important question that I mentioned earlier for those of you who were at the study session. Why punish them? Why call what they did a sin? After all, they didn't lie. That's what they experienced. A land where people seemed unconquerable. And even though you could tax them with a lack of faith, since when is fear a sin? And his answer has two parts and is, I think, tremendously important. First of all, he said, not lying is not the same as telling the truth. The spies didn't lie, but they didn't tell the truth. In order to tell the truth, especially about something important, you have to go, he said, deep within yourself. You have to explore who you are and your own assumptions about who you are. And this they didn't do. They were scared, they came back, they expressed their fear. But they didn't tell the truth. And there is a reason why they didn't. And this leads to the Kotzker Rebbe's second point. The reason they didn't was they came back and said to Moshe, "They saw us as if we were grasshoppers." And that, he said, was their sin. Because it was no business of theirs how other people saw them. It was their business who they were. And by defining themselves through the eyes of someone else at a crucial moment in their lives, when they were representatives of Israel, they sinned. They were not, to update the reference in the words of the sociologist David Riesman, a popular book that he wrote some 40 years ago, they were not inner directed. They didn't know who they were from inside out. And so, when they had a crisis in their lives, they looked at themselves through the eyes of someone else. They didn't know who they were, and they didn't because they didn't know how to tell the truth. This is important because that is, to a great extent, the society in which we live. Why is it that our children are drawn so powerfully to public icons, to pop stars, to singers, to actors and actresses, because they're young. And when you are young, you're dazzled by surfaces. And that which is popular is filled with fizz, with lights, with noise, with things that preoccupy us so hard that it is difficult to see beneath it. And that's a natural part of growing up. But it is our job to see below that, to see deeper, to be adults, to look inside ourselves, to have depths beneath our surfaces. Exploring something in depth is hard. It takes more work to think than it does to watch TV. It takes more time to read a book than to go to a movie. Love takes more than companionship. But that's what it is to have depths. That's what the Kotzka said the spies didn't have, with the exception of two. They saw what was on the surface, and they didn't have the resolve, the resources, the determination, the faith to see what was underneath. Remember when he came here, what Elie Wiesel said as his final words to us: to think higher and live deeper. That's what the Meraglim, what the spies could not do. Coming to this place is easy. Building it is hard. Helping it to grow takes work. Calling oneself a Jew is easy. Living as a Jew is hard and takes work. That's the essential message of the spies. And that is even why, counterproductively, my teacher in yeshiva when I was a child skipped that paragraph, because he knew the children would see the surface and not deeper. But in fact, that redemption comes through unlikely people in unusual situations is something that the text is teaching us, which is a deeper message. That if you cut yourself off from relating to another human being because of your assumptions about him or about her, you may lose a treasure, because there's something deeper. I'll close with one of my favorite stories that I never tire of telling. And if you haven't heard it, you will again. About the rich man who has a beautiful daughter and wants to find a perfect husband for her. And so he goes off to this grand yeshiva where many, many students are studying Torah and Talmud all day long. And he looks to all the hundreds of students and he says to them, "I have a beautiful and wealthy and learned and wonderful daughter. And I want to marry her to the best student in this academy, and so I'm going to ask you a question. And any student who can answer this Talmudic question properly will marry my daughter." And then he gives them the question. And the first day, all 500 students line up, and they all give the answer, and none of them is right. The next day, 250, and on and on and on. And finally, after a week, there are three students left who are still trying. And one of them comes and gives an answer, and he says, "No, that's not it." And the second gives his answer. He says, "No, I'm sorry, you didn't get it right." And the last student comes and gives an answer, and he says, "No, I guess there is no one here who merits marrying my daughter." And he climbs into his carriage, and he tells his footman to drive them off, and the carriage starts to pull out when he hears a shouting behind him, and he looks, and there's one of the students waving his hands and screaming for him to stop. And he stops the carriage, and the student comes running up to the window, and he says, "Do you know the answer?" And the student says, "No, I don't. But I can't let you leave before you tell me what the answer is." and he said, "You're the man that's marrying my daughter." Because you see, it wasn't important if he had the answer. It was important if he had the depths, if he kept searching, if he cared, if he wouldn't give up, if he believed that the relationship was central, so that it didn't matter if he won the reward. It mattered if he kept looking for the answers. The Meraglim gave up. The spies threw up their hands in despair, all but Kalev and Yehoshua. And that's why Yehoshua became the leader of Israel. Because he was the one who stopped the metaphorical coach and said, "I need the answer." It is my hope that for all of us, we will recognize in a city and a country and indeed a world that is often preoccupied with what is on the surface, that we'll believe in what's below, that we will indeed live higher and think deeper, and by doing so, expand our own souls and glorify God. Shabbat shalom.